It's 7:26, and joining me in the studio is State Senator Dave Kinski. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. What a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day to listen to you play the Bakersfield sound. Dwight Yoakam, Act Naturally.
Oh, yeah. There's some songs that Dwight Yoakam plays that is my favorite, like Ain't That Lonely Yet, which actually was written by Costas, who travels down from Montana and is a good friend of Dave Stewart's down at the Occidental.
So. Well, you're just a font of you're a Renaissance man for country music.
Oh, well, you're in this sphere for a couple of years. You learn a lot of stuff.
So. And then the streets of Bakersfield. So it's called the Bakersfield Sound. Have you ever been to Bakersfield?
No, I have never. I never have been.
And Buck Owens has a big palace there. It's
really?
A big music palace.
Yeah. Well, it grew a lot of music out of there, like Merle Haggard and Dwight Yoakam and Buck Owens. So
I always meant to go, and then I don't know, I get busy.
Don't they have a racetrack there too?
They could. They could. I just know that they have a huge country western palace music performance hall, and maybe more of them. I mean, I don't think it's to the size of Branson or Nashville, but I think it's pretty sizable, and they bring people in from a long ways away.
Yeah, I hope my listeners like that segment, because when I get up in the morning, I'm really stoked because I can't wait to find out what songs I get to play during that segment.
Oh, I enjoy it.
It's my favorite.
I'm glad to see Dwight Yoakam picking up the baton on some of that Bakersfield sound, too, because those other fellows, you know, they're kind of contemporaries of ours, and they're getting little gray hair, you know, if that type style of country music is going to hang
well,
around.
I know that Waylon Jennings, if he were still alive, he'd be 80 years old today.
Well, 80's not very old anymore, but he lived hard, didn't he?
Yeah.
Waylon lived a pretty hard life.
Hard life.
A lot of miles.
I was talking about being old. I had pizza with one of my Johns County mentoring kids last night, and we were talking about driver's license, and I said, well, should you be he wanted to – he thought that kids 13 or 14 years old should be able to drive. And I said, well, what about – older people, when should they not be allowed to drive? And he said, well, 70. I said, you realize that's only 6 years away from me? He says, well, you're younger than that.
Well, it's kind of nice to have somebody think you're younger than that, because usually when you're a kid, you know, everybody looks like they're just ancient. I know there's a fella I used to flag for crop dusting, and somebody mentioned his name to me, and I said, doggone, is he still alive? Well, I found out he was only 62 or 63, but when I was working for him, he was probably 34. I thought he's an old man.
Yeah.
It is funny how everything changes with perspective. Well, you know, can we touch on water just a little bit? I had a nice opportunity to tour the Bull Creek Draw Project with two Wyoming State Senators.
You toured that. Yeah. I think Bill Novotny announced that at the last commissioner meeting. You know, a couple things we are going to talk about is you had a joint Judiciary Committee meeting up in Sheridan. I do want to talk about that. Recalibration, you went to Riverton on that. But you also got a chance to show off the Bull Creek Reservoir area to a couple of state senators.
Well, as you know, this last session, we had a little trouble getting some traction on Bull Creek to move it forward. We need to acquire some pretty critical water rights. And so Larry Hicks of Bags, he's chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, and he's also on the Select Water Committee. Ogden Driscoll of Devil's Tower, of course, a rancher, and I thought it important that those two actually get on the ground and see and hear from Bill Novotny and Linda Greeno and Anita Bartlett and others that are close to the project, because it's a complicated project. You know, it's not just your typical water project. Bull Creek Draw has a lot of moving parts. And what was kind of killing us this last session is there are people standing up and saying, Lake DeSmit's so big, it's got so much water, and why do you need yet another water project when you got water that's going unused now? So. Mm-hmm. You really have to get up here and drive around and see it to really understand the project. And I think the good news is I think our commissioners did a great job and their staff in terms of explaining the project. And I think Senator Driscoll and Senator Hicks came away knowing more than they knew before, which says something, because those two are considerable minds when it comes to water. Now, whether I made believers out of them or not is another question. We'll find out. But, you know, as Schiffer used to tell me, I asked him once, I said, do you have to lobby all those other legislators? And he said, you have to educate them. And I thought he was kidding me. I said, you mean like with a 2x4, educate him or what? And he goes, no, you have to educate him. You got to get the facts. You got to get the information, and you just got to educate him. And that was good advice. So that's the approach I've taken. You know, is just trying to educate, reach out, get all the information, and hope that the truth is enough to convince people to do the right thing.
Well, the reservoir is part would fit well into Governor Meade's mission or plan or goal for having more watersheds developed in the state. Where are we with that? I mean, what's the chances at the next session that we look at that?
Well, Governor Meade's his plan that you're referring to is called the 10 and 10, mm-hmm. which is 10 new water projects in 10 years. Getting 10 new projects is not going to be as difficult as getting it done in 10 years because of all the regulatory hassles. But they have a list of projects, and now the challenge is to hone in on the ones that are most worthy. Here's where we're struggling a little bit on Bull Creek Draw, besides the fact that it's fairly complex, is the other projects that are on the list are of unappropriated water. And Governor Meade set his cap on unappropriated water, water that's flowing outside the state and nobody's making a claim on it. Let's find a way to dam that, appropriate it, put it to prior beneficial use. That's what the law says. And in Bull Creek Draw's case, we're trying to take water that has been appropriated, that is in priority, and put it to beneficial use. And so I think that's one objection, one hurdle we're going to have to cross. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Well, it was great that you were able to educate a couple of your compadres.
And they're good folks. They're well-intentioned. It's like so many in the Wyoming legislature. You may not always agree, but there's no question everybody has the best interest of Wyoming at heart. That's what's nice about it.
Well, you guys, you know, you're in the session, but throughout the year, you guys are busy. You had a joint judiciary committee and shared it a couple of weeks ago about edible marijuana and a lot of other, I guess, Department of Corrections policies.
Yeah, we did. This edible marijuana is just it's burning up a lot of time, but it's worth working on. It's worth thinking about. I just don't know if we're getting anything done. The last two sessions, the bills failed. And what it is this. Traditionally, in Wyoming, 3 ounces or more of pot was a felony, and 3 ounces or less was a misdemeanor. The problem is you take 3 ounces of marijuana, throw it into a brownie, and now you have a pound. And traditionally, at law, they didn't count all the other things, and so it's a felony. You know, what would be a misdemeanor in green leafy substance form becomes a felony when cooked into edibles. So there's a lot of folks that see that as an injustice, and I can certainly see that point of view. The problem is we've got this edibles pouring over the border from Colorado, and it's virtually completely unregulated. So we're not talking about 3 ounces of green leafy marijuana. We're talking about something that looks like child's candy, you know, a gummy mm-hmm. bear. And it is loaded with so much THC that you could just stone the whole town. Yeah. And it just ain't right. And so we've got and you can have a trunk full of those things, and it's a misdemeanor. And that's all because a judge struck down the 3 ounces and more and 3 ounces and less in the context of edibles. A Wyoming judge did that, and another judge followed suit. The good news is we're not...
You know, Ben Court from Colorado was up here talking to some of the local citizens and law enforcement, and he was kind of giving kind of the same thing that you just said. He said, 10 years ago, to bring a certain amount of marijuana, we had a U-Haul truck. Now you can have a small amount under your seat.
Yeah. And it's actually more potent than you had in the U-Haul truck.
So
that's
exactly
I'm going to remember
right.
that one. That's good. That's good. So the good news is we're not completely exposed, because if you have that trunk full of edibles and you attempt to share it or sell it, then that's intent to distribute, and that becomes a felony. So law enforcement personnel tell me usually when somebody's got an incredible quantity of edibles or anything else, there's other evidence that allows them to charge with intent to distribute, which is a felony above and beyond simple possession. He said, you know, there'll be cash and a scale and, you know, names and, you know, various other indicators that they're actually marketing and peddling. So we're not completely exposed. And so I don't know where all that whole marijuana debate is going to end up in the end. I will tell you this. We need to stay tuned in. We need to stay alert. We need to stay vigilant. We need to stay educated, and we need to stay involved. And it's for this reason that I heard a police chief from Wyoming over in the Basin Country talk to the Judiciary Committee, and he said he went down to Colorado to personally assess what was going on. And he said there was a couple law enforcement folks well-placed down there, well-considered, told him, he said, the mistake that we made in Colorado as a law enforcement community is when this debate started, we simply said, no, 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 no. Which, you know, is your natural instinct.
Mm-hmm.
But he said what happened then is that constitutional amendment in Colorado was crafted without any input whatsoever. And he said, and so it ended up being, it passed, and it's just wide open. It's virtually unregulated what they can do with pot down there. And he said, in hindsight, we should have said, this is law enforcement in Colorado. He said, in hindsight, what law enforcement should have said, we'll have a seat at the table. We'll give our input to what we think would make it more responsible, and then we're going to fight like heck to defeat it. So, for instance, there's no limit on the amount of THC that you can put into those edibles. There is just absolutely no limit.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon passed a marijuana law. I don't know whether it's decriminalization or legalization or what, but they limit the amount of THC. They have a clear set of guidelines on how much THC per ounce of whatever so that you can avoid the situation as happened with that young Wyoming Community College student. The fellow was young and naive, and he picked up a cookie and didn't read the package, and it said, you know, divide this cookie into 10 and then eat one piece of one piece, and that's a full dose. He ate the whole cookie and freaked out and ended up falling off of a building.
Yeah.
Now, in the Judiciary Committee meeting and letters, they say, oh, you're saying that marijuana kills people. I'm saying, no, the kid overdosed and freaked out. I'm not saying it killed him. I'm saying he died as a consequence of a virtually completely unregulated drug. You know, even alcohol, you can pick up a bottle and see 4.4% or 14% or whatever, and all of that's missing in Colorado.
Well, I know that every time that I would report on, when Ben Court was here, I did some news stories, and I probably had more responses on Facebook of our posts, our news reports, because people didn't understand that it's not your grandfather's marijuana. It's something totally different now. And most of what is sold in Colorado is not even a leafy substance anymore. It's been transformed into edibles and wax and so many other things that are it's just simply not what it was 30 years ago.
It's an industry. It's all American ingenuity has been applied to it. So to follow up on that, what we heard as testimony is what they call back in the day weed might be 4 to 12% THC. Now the stuff's been hyper hybridized and bred that it's 40%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's incredible. And then what happens is they dump the bushel baskets full of dope into a hopper, and it goes through this cold extraction process and pulls all of the THC out. So we had a forensic toxicologist explain it to us. In its plant form, it's called THCA, and it takes heat to activate it. That's why it's either smoked or baked. The THCA gets converted to THC, the active substance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because it's a cold extraction process, when they make edibles in Colorado, it's got some THC, but one heck of a lot of THCA. So whatever else you may think about the potency, she said on the packages you'll see, warming in the microwave will enhance the effect. In other words, whatever amount of THC it's got, which is a lot, you throw it in the microwave and it's, I don't know, order of magnitude more powerful, and it's unknown how much is in there. I mean, this is an industry. This is absolutely an industry, and I'm not much for regulation, except there is a place for regulation on these kind of things where it's something that's inherently dangerous. You know, even the common law used to have something called malum in se, something that just in and itself is bad. Even going back to Roman times, it was okay to regulate gambling. It was okay to regulate alcohol. It was okay to regulate, sex, those kind of things. That if it gets too carried away, you can destroy society.
So the Judiciary Committee, did they recommend some amendments to the bill for the next session?
They did. It's the same, largely the same bill that failed the last time, that says 3 ounces or more of edible is a felony, and 3 ounces or less than 3 ounces is a misdemeanor. It started out as 8 ounces, and it passed the committee to convert it to 3. And there were some other amendments that we kind of went back and forth on. And what we ended up doing, it's a real dilemma, Mark, because if you make the law a little bit looser, you enhance, in terms of regulation on the dope, you may attract more votes from people that want more leniency on it, but you also make it more lenient. The stricter you make it, you start losing votes and reduce the odds that you'll get anything passed. There was a senator in my first session there that he said, that's the classic dilemma of legislating. If you have a really bad bill and you bring amendments to improve it, you increase the odds it'll pass. But if you don't do anything to improvement and it passes, then you stood by while something really awful, you know, passed over your vote. So it's always a dilemma. Do I try to make this thing better enough to pass, or do I just try and leave it really bad and kill it anyway?
Did you have a lot of input from the community? I know you had it in Sheridan. I know you and Senator Burns were there. But did you have a lot of community people show up and make
comments? Yeah, every session... The marijuana thing brings people out. It just brings people out. What was different this session is, in the past, people would get up and talk about legalization and why they thought it should be legal and why they thought it should be decriminalized, and a long line of those folks and committee members would keep saying, you know, we're not voting on legalization. We're voting on criminalization, not decriminalization. We're voting on criminalization of felonies, of just, you know, significant amounts of it. And finally, I think people got the message, because the committee chairman would have to keep saying, you know, if you're here to debate legalization, you're going to have to go somewhere else to debate, because we have just this very narrow issue of edibles on the table in front of us. We're not mm-hmm. talking about Good. Bills to legalize or decriminalize or any of that stuff. So it went better in that regard. And the other thing I thought that happened that was real good in Sheridan is Mike Blonigan is a prosecutor from Casper. We have two nationally recognized prosecutors in Wyoming, Mike Blonigan of Casper and Matt Riedel of Sheridan. And I know a lot of other prosecutors kind of look to them for some input and lead and direction. And Mike had been awfully sick and received a heart transplant. I don't know if you saw that story, but
no,
so,
I didn't.
So Mike is back in action, and he was able to come to the meeting, because, you know, if you're going to move these things forward, you've been in and around the community enough to know you got to have all the key stakeholders at the table, and you're not going to get anywhere. Now I'm not talking about dope. I'm talking about just everything, sentencing, mm-hmm. prison reform, all of that. You have to have all of the players at the table. And to have a prosecutor of the stature of Mike there was very helpful. I mean, his input was great. We have a bill for post-conviction innocence, where somebody might be convicted, they go to prison, and then new evidence emerges. What are the rules that are going to govern the trial for that person? Or will they even get a new trial? Will they even get a review at all? And Mike Blonigan, so the ACLU was there, the Project Innocence Project was there. Well, it's great to hear from those folks. They're sincere. They're well-intentioned. That's important. There was somebody from the defense bar there, trial lawyers. But also, we had the prosecutors there. You've got to have that, or those kind of bills, they'll come up before the legislature next winner, and if that's the first time you hear from the prosecutors, usually it's not positive. Or if it's the first time you hear from the judges, or if it's the first time you hear from the defense lawyers, you know, usually it's not positive because the thing moved along without listening to everybody. You, regardless of your ideology, I know you believe that too, regardless of your ideology, where you come from on the political spectrum, you got to listen. Got to listen, right?
Right.
And then vote no. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, we had one of those high-profile cases right here in Johnson County just last year where new evidence came up and the trial was held again. So
yeah.